It's time for The Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. It's Thursday, January 20th, 2022. We have 7 inbound vessels, we have 8 outbounders, and we have about 10 vessels in our Astoria anchorages. That seems pretty normal for right now. We have about that number coming and going every day. And then our anchorage has just been full, as I said, because of ships that are primarily coming in to pick up wheat at this time of year. So we should see that extending for a while until this backlog of wheat pickups abates somewhat. And we'll just have to see how that goes. In our marine weather forecast, we have today northwest winds 10 to 15 knots, wind waves from the northwest 2 feet high at 4 seconds apart, and west swells 7 feet high at 12 seconds, chance of showers in the morning. And today we're going to be talking a little bit more about Tonga and about a very specialized ship, similar to a kind of ship that we often see here on the Columbia, that will be helping out in Tonga in the aftermath of that serious volcanic eruption and tsunami that they had there on the weekend that put us into a state of tsunami advisory here on the West Coast. Well, let's take a look at some of our ships coming and going today. We have the Semtex or Chemtex Diligence arriving from China. She came in early this morning about 3 a.m. and is now in the Rice Island Anchorage. She'll be going upriver eventually to pick up wheat. The African Batis is arriving from Singapore. She, I think, might be picking up copper concentrate. She probably passed Astoria inbound around 5 a.m. and will be in Vancouver at about 11 a.m. The articulated tug and barge, the Gulf Reliance, she's a Crowley Maritime vessel. Passing Astoria inbound around 1:30 p.m. She could be in Portland by about 7:30 p.m. The SM Qingdao is arriving from Seattle. She's a container ship headed for the Port of Portland. She will pass Astoria inbound around 2:30 p.m. You might see her in Portland by about 8:30 p.m. And the Thor Future is arriving from China. She is, I believe, bringing in steel slabs. She will probably pass Astoria inbound around 5:30 p.m. You might see her in the Port of Portland by about 11:30 this evening. And the Monza is arriving from South Korea, car carrier. She's carrying brand new Hyundais headed for the Port of Portland. 5:30 p.m. past Astoria, maybe to the Port of Portland by about 11:30 p.m. So a little more about Tonga today and about an interesting connection between a specialized type of ship that we often see here on the Columbia and a similar ship that will be helping out in Tonga. Most of what we see here on the Columbia are cargo ships, but we see other kinds of ships here as well, research vessels, military ships, commercial fishing boats, tugboats and barges, to name a few, and a highly specialized type of ship called an undersea cable layer. So this article is from Reuters, and it is about Tonga. The South Pacific archipelago of Tonga could spend days or even weeks cut off from the rest of the world because of difficulties in repairing its sole undersea communications cable, which an operator said was ruptured during a massive volcanic eruption. The challenge underlines the vulnerability of undersea fiber optic cables, which have become a backbone of global communications, thanks to the capacity for them to carry data that is about 200 times that of satellites. Saturday's undersea volcano eruption there sent tsunami waves across the Pacific Ocean so that connectivity was lost on the line operated by Tonga Cable Limited in waters about 23 miles offshore. But the repair of Tonga's critical 514-mile-long fiber optic link to Fiji depends on the arrival of a specialized ship that is now days away from there in New Guinea, but traveling to there. Repairs to the cable could take around 2 weeks. The crews also need safety clearance for the repairs to make sure that the area is seismically stable enough to use equipment and possibly divers. It's likely the existing cable is broken. The cable ship is named the Reliance and is owned by the U.S. firm Subcom, a builder of underwater cable networks that is the repair contractor for more than 31,000 miles of cable in the South Pacific. Fixing a break in a fiber optic cable on land is easy for experienced technicians, but repairing a cut in one on a seabed is far more complicated. Cable operators must first locate the fault by seeing how far a pulse of light travels down the cable before it bounces back at the break. Then a repair ship heads to the site of the break, where it sends down a submersible or deep water hook to grab the cable and pull it up to make the repair. More than 99% of global international data traffic is carried on a network of about 280 submarine cables stretching more than 621,000 miles. In 2019, Tonga spent more than a week cut adrift from the web when the undersea cable was damaged, reportedly by a ship's anchor. After that outage, it signed a 15-year deal for satellite connectivity. But prohibitive costs limit the use of satellites across the archipelago for most people apart from government officials and some businesses. And the use of satellite phones has also been affected by the ash that is still blanketing the country after the eruption. Worried relatives overseas still face an agonizing wait for news. So that story was from Reuters about the loss of internet connectivity in Tonga. But to bring that story back here a bit, the kind of ship that is going to do those repairs is often seen here on the Columbia. A couple of them come into the river to berths at Swan Island in Portland to get supplies, change crews, things like that, so they are homeported here when they're in the area. The same company that owns the ship headed to Tonga owns the ships we see here, a company called Subcom, formerly Tyco. One ship we see here, the Decisive, at least a few years ago, had a local woman as one of its officers. Her name is Alicia Johnson, and she's the daughter of Columbia River Bar pilot Captain Robert Johnson, who's now retired. She's the first officer on that ship after graduating from the Kings Point Merchant Marine Academy in New York a number of years ago. So what do these ships do? Well, their job is twofold. They put down cable in places where it isn't already, and they also repair cable that's broken or in some way malfunctioning. These ships are high-tech, very high-tech. They have professional crews on board of technicians, divers, and other folks who know how to do all these things. The ships have special GPS navigation equipment on board and thrusters that allow the ship to essentially hover over the bottom of the ocean over precise coordinates where they need to be to either drop cable or repair it. They have unmanned undersea vehicles that they send down to locate and repair cable that's broken, and specially trained divers who can go down in the ocean as needed. Sometimes they can repair the cable right where it lies on the ocean floor. Other times they need to pull it up and repair it on the ship. I had the pleasure of going aboard one of these ships in Portland at the Swan Island shipyard a few years ago. They are amazing, sophisticated vessels. They can carry many miles of cable to sea with them. One interesting note, the ship's wheel on a vessel like this is not the kind of huge ship's wheel that you see in the movies. I remember going onto the bridge with the captain, and he was sort of showing us around, showing us how things worked. It's more of a joystick that can make minute corrections to the ship's position in any direction as needed when they're doing their work. So Subcom has a fleet of vessels all over the world with similar equipment and specialists on board. So an interesting connection between here and there in a way that will eventually get the internet operating again there in Tonga. You've been listening to The Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. Thanks for listening and have a great day.